way we do Christmas with our families started in the late 1800s. Of course, churches and Christians went to church services for centuries before then. And the people that were non-Christians, they did, here we go, a wassailing, and they went to the Boar's Head Tavern. The pilgrims did not like the non-Christian celebration so much, they would not have a Christmas. But we have had Christmas for the late 1800s. It's not commanded, but I think it's a very good thing to get together with families, exchange presents. It's not commanded in the Bible, but they did give presents in the book of Esther after Purim, when the Jews were not hurt by their enemies. They exchanged gifts and they had banquets. So it's kind of like a Bible example of doing that. We do not know the exact day of Jesus' birth. Winter makes sense. The shepherds were watching flocks. Passover would be in March or April. So newborn lambs for the Passover would be December or January. So it sort of makes sense. The Catholics picked December 25th. And that's kind of like Western civilization. They picked it because also a time when the time changes and darkness is less and less and there's more and more light. So Western civilization picked that for a Christmas day. Darkness turning to light. The Old Testament had holidays, so we're going to look at what God wanted for those holidays and then maybe think that this would be a good thing for us to do on our optional holiday. Now we have in the notes the verses. I have a little bit more to read, so it depends whether you want to just look at the notes where you'll get the main point. And you can either turn or listen to the rest of them. We'll be reading a lot of them from Deuteronomy 16. The first thing that God wanted with his holidays was rest. We have the line, Deuteronomy 16:8. 6 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the seventh there will be a solemn assembly to the Lord your God. You shall do no work on it. No work. And maybe glance at verse 12. You used to remember you were slaves and you don't have to work on these days. Exodus 23 also had one day of rest every week. But very interesting is several weeks off a year, but even one whole sabbatical year every 49 years. I cannot imagine a sabbatical year where you don't do anything. Just don't do anything for a whole year. So I will be 70 next year, so 10 years of doing nothing. That doesn't happen with Americans. We don't get as much rest as they do. So they had lots of rest. Three times a year they would come to Jerusalem. And it's sort of rest, but not in bed. It's rest away from the work. Don't have to do that work. Not so much rest as staying in bed the whole time, but don't have to do that work. Get to do something else. And they, three times a year, would go on long walks all the way up to Jerusalem. So it was kind of exercise. It was rest from their work, but not rest in bed. It was doing something else. As a young boy, Jesus walked to the temple in Jerusalem at age 12. Then he didn't have to do carpentry work, but he wasn't sleeping. He was walking. He was getting there. So we read Deuteronomy 16, Deuteronomy 5, 6 also has the Ten Commandments, and you'll have a day of rest. Mark 6:31, Jesus told the disciples, come apart and rest a while. Psalm 127, about he gives to his beloved even in their sleep. So it can be a good thing to take a time away from that work, away from that hard stuff. It doesn't have to be resting in bed, but it's the doing something else, in their case, exercise. And number two now, being with families. They would rest from their work and do something else. It wasn't all laziness, lots of exercise, but rest. They would also have reunion with families. So you can look at the verses that we have in Deuteronomy 16, and I'll read a little bit more than what are on the notes. In Deuteronomy 16, the last part of verse 11, talks about son, daughter, male, female servants, Levite, stranger, orphan, widow, go to the place where God chooses, which was not known as Jerusalem, but there would be a place, and we now know it as Jerusalem. But you had all these reunions with all of these relatives, but it was also kind of a community reunion. In the last second section of verse 14 and verse 16, we have the same thing. Deuteronomy 16, 14. Son, daughter, male, female servants, Levite, stranger, orphan, widow, all kind of get together, kind of like a reunion. Three times a year, verse 16, all your men. Verse 17, every man. So they would kind of have family reunions, kind of have community reunions. We're sort of having a community reunion at church. A granddaughter sings in the Tascosa choir, and it was all Christmas music, nearly all. One Grinch at the end, but otherwise nearly all Christmas music, which I think of as a community gathering. They did everything but give an altar call at the end. Rest, meaning doing something else. Reunion. Another reason for the holiday is to remember the past. You have a Deuteronomy 16, verse 3, that you remember all the days of your life. If you're looking at it, that's the last part of verse 3. Remember all the days of your life. And remember again in verse 12. They were supposed to remember the Exodus. They were supposed to remember that they had been slaves and they had to get out in a hurry. And then they would have this holiday to tell the kids about it. What makes this day different than all the other days? And then they would talk about the unleavened bread. We had to leave in a hurry. There was no time for the dough to rise. They had to talk about the Passover lamb. And we're having lamb because they had Passover lambs and had to put the blood on the doorposts. And we would now know it's in the shape of the cross. It is not required to have a Christmas, but it's good to remember Jesus' events. Good to remember his birth at Christmas and his death on the cross and rising from the dead on Easter. It says that they came to the Lord to remember. Mark 16:6. He is not here, he is risen. That would be remembering him at Easter. And the wise men came to remember at Christmas. Now Deuteronomy 16 also gives a command to be happy, which I find that fascinating. You shall rejoice. That's King James. You shall celebrate. New American Standard. That's Deuteronomy 16. You can look at 13 and 14. You shall rejoice in your feasts. Verse 15, so that you may be altogether joyful. You shall be happy, which is kind of a strange command, but it is in the New Testament also. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Jesus' critics often made themselves miserable on purpose. The Pharisees, they said they fast twice a week. That was every Monday and Thursday. That's according to Talmud, but they did tell Jesus we fast twice a week. Now it'd be okay to fast and have a bad time once in a while. I remember on 9/11, we had some people fasting. And as soon as they knew about it, we had some people come down to church and had a little private prayer time. So it's okay to have a time of mourning, but not all the time. The Middle Age monks, they would say, I'm going to stay up on a pole on a platform, and they would stay up there for a long time and have someone bring food up to them, but they'd be up there on the platform. They were trying to be as miserable as possible. One fast in the Old Testament, the Day of Atonement. None required in the New Testament, optional. It fits Deuteronomy 16, you shall celebrate. You shall rejoice. Now, don't have to do Christmas. Don't have to do Easter. No New Testament commands to do it. But in the Old Testament, they did have commands for celebrations. And they had rest. They had reunion. They had remembrance. They had rejoicing. We'll move now from the Old Testament holidays and what they meant and how that could fit now to how are they feeling at Jesus' birth? And these are points 5 and 6. If we look at point 5, they had increased attention upon Jesus and increased worship. So, Matthew 2:2 and 2:11. Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come, purpose, to worship him. Verse 11. After coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell to the ground and worshiped him. Whenever we have good feelings at Christmas time, better emotions increased at Christmas, it comes from giving more attention to Jesus. The wise men came to give him attention. They came to promote Jesus, lift him up, exalt him, the definition of worship. They came to worship Jesus. And that's what Christmas should be about in our time. They came and they had, quote, verse 10, exceedingly great joy. So we won't literally see Mary, Joseph, and Jesus at Christmas, but we can think more about Jesus. And when we think more about him and give more attention to him, we will be better off. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Which is one of the favorite verses. The wise men were better off for increasing attention upon Jesus. Jeremiah 9:23 and 24 also teach about this. Let not a wise man boast in his wisdom. I went to such and such a college and have all these degrees. Let not a mighty man boast of his might. I had all these records and all of these medals. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me. The wise men were better off for coming and giving increased attention upon Jesus. Colossians 3, 1 and 2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. And then it says, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The more we actually think about Jesus, the better off we will be, the stronger we'll be, the happier we'll become, and that kind of fits his birth. Thinking about his birth. What were his traits? What is he like? Endless love. He loved us to the end. That's John 13. It could be the end of his life, the end of time, or the nth degree. He is reliable, so that when we put faith in Jesus and we have hope in Jesus, he told us the truth, and he is reliable. Some of our music songs have good feelings in them, increased praise. One line, the thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices. Increased attention. Now we have increased praises of him. And I will read again the Christmas story of increased praises of him. And that's the angels to the shepherds. Luke 2, 13 and 14. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And that second part is a good translation. Not so much world peace and never be a war again, but peace inside the people with whom he is pleased. There is increased praise this time of year. Now we try to praise every Sunday, and we do so at church. But there can be more this time of year, and need not be music. We can think about Jesus. We can give more attention to Jesus. We can give more praise to him, even if we do have bad days later on. We used Psalm 100 for scripture reading, which is some ways kind of odd for a Christmas scripture reading, but it's about praise. Psalm 100, shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. I picked these others about praise, like the angels in the sky in Bethlehem. Psalm 119, 165, seven times a day I will praise you because of your righteous ordinances. Now, usually they had prayers three times a day, but this day he says seven. And also because of the Bible, the righteous ordinances. Psalm 135, praise the Lord, praise the name of the Lord, praise him. Pick that one because there's three of them. We won't read all of Psalm 150, but every line is praise him. And then it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. To put a New Testament verse in it, we did Hebrews 13:50, continually offer up praise. Try to do so every Sunday. It increases at Christmas. It makes us feel a lot better emotionally. Now, I don't know about non-Christians. I think they even have a little bit better feeling if they praise God because they were born to do that, even if they're unbelievers. I always think of going to Handel's Messiah. went to the University of Michigan where the choir was singing Handel's Messiah. And everybody stood up and started singing Hallelujah. And they all seemed like they felt pretty good, at least for that, because all creatures are made to do that. But later on, I'm sure they went back to their normal habits. The last verses we have are from Corinthians. We don't think of Corinthians as being like Christmas sermon verses, but they kind of are. It says in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks to be to God for his unspeakable gift. And the gift would be Jesus coming to us. And 2 Corinthians 8:9, though he was rich, he became poor, so that by his poverty we might become rich. So the Lord Jesus Christ gave up everything to be among us. He was born to die. Philippians 2 talks about that he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. And being found in appearance the likeness of man, which is Bethlehem and his birth, that's not what Philippians 2 is about, but he became human to become obedient to death, even the death of the cross. So the Lord Jesus Christ is God's gift to us. Back then, a gift to all who trust him as Savior, and a gift in our lives. He did this for our sake. Very, very unselfish. Christmas done right will kind of be that way. Unselfish. Increased attention for others. It is Old Testament holidays in our notes, but they fit. Rest. Not so much sleeping all the time, but getting away from that labor. Reunion with family and churches and communities, remembrance of good things in the past, especially Jesus' birth, rejoicing, increased attention upon Jesus, which we can't see the baby Jesus, but we can increase attention upon Jesus. We can increase our praise upon Jesus, and we can give some thoughts to others and be unselfish. Christmas is not demanded, don't have to do it, but it's a very Western civilization habit. Been going on for a long time, lesser with families, but a long time with church services. And these are the goals that God might have for us at this time. Will the musicians please come?